Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's motivational aim target, God Guides in Discernment. The series that you're listening to is entitled God Guides You. This is an extension from my Bible plan, God Guides You. It's available on my website with discussion questions, and it's available on the YouVersion Bible app. This series, God Guides You, is another encouraging resource letting listeners know that in life, God guides us when we allow Him to guide us. There are times when a person might think that they know what's best, but it's always best to allow God to guide. We should allow God to guide us in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds, in our relationships, in our businesses, in our jobs, in anything we have going on. When a person guides someone, what are they doing? They're showing them a way. They're showing them a course of action to take. Guides don't make anyone do anything. They expose them to things. But it's up to the individual who wants the guidance to take heed to that guidance and explore what's being shown to them. So that's what this series is about. It's about us as individuals allowing God to show us things, and we take heed to it and we follow Him. He's not going to make anybody do anything, but it's up to us to believe and trust in His divine guidance. So that's what I'll be covering in this series. This is a 7-part series as of right now. If anything changes, I'll be sure to let you know as the episodes develop. But the motivational aim, God Guides You in Discernment, is the target for today. First, I want to provide a definition for the word discernment. A few definitions that I came across is the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. For those who have this gift of discernment, it can make some people who don't want to be detected or found out extremely angry and really mad. Because with this gift of discernment, one can see beyond the surface and they can see the intent and the motive of what's being presented before them. They can see things so clearly, even when distractions and illusions try to paint a picture that do not exist. What I want to do is provide one account in Scripture where a woman and a young man utilized discernment as God guided both of them in each area and aspect of their lives. I encourage you to read 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter in its entirety. But what I'm going to do is go over this passage of Scripture due to the length of the passage. So I'm going to break some things down. So what's going on in 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter? You have King David. Remember King David? He was anointed to be king. When he was young, he was a shepherd. He created all these psalms, praising God, worshiping God. He created a lot of instruments. When God promoted him and people found out that he was anointed, it made Saul, the current king, very jealous. So David had to run away from King Saul. And if you think about it, that's where we begin, or that's where we end up in 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter. David is hiding from King Saul because King Saul was searching for him to kill him. Saul was going through a lot because he disobeyed God and he wasn't doing what God commanded him to do. In addition to his disobedience, he was suffering from major depression, having all types of panic attacks, anxiety. He had mental breakdowns. And he just had to get rid of David because David was a representation of what he was supposed to do and what he was not doing. and Saul wanted him dead. David was also a constant reminder to Saul that it was over. It was over. It was nothing that Saul could do. His time was up. Now, David was guided in discernment, and he left and ran away from Saul, and he's in the wilderness. As he is on the run, we learn that Samuel the prophet, who anointed David to be king, and Samuel's the one who anointed Saul to be king, he died. Samuel was a respected man and judge who lived this God-honoring life. He spoke with so much power, influence, authority, and insight. And people knew that whenever Samuel said something, it would come to pass. It would happen. Okay? So David, he's on the run. He's in the wilderness. He comes across this particular region where a wealthy man lives and his wife. His wife's name is Abigail, and this wealthy man's name is Nabal. Abigail was not only a beautiful and intelligent woman, she was a woman guided by the discernment from God. David lived in this region for a time. David, along with all the men who traveled with him and supported him as he waited for God to properly place him in his kingship position at the right time. Okay, so David and his men provided protection for this man, this wealthy man by the name of Nabal. They provided this protection for him because they were living in that region. Now, Nabal never told David to provide him with protection, but David made sure that Nabal's herds were provided for. David made sure that nobody took what belonged to Nabal. Nobody took advantage of him. Nobody took advantage of his workers. David just made sure that this man was taken care of. He just did it. And let's think about present day. Let's say somebody comes near you or around you, and they just start providing for you. And they start providing for who belongs to you, and they just start enhancing what belongs to you. And then they just start protecting what's yours. Now, if somebody not doing anything crazy, they're not trying to manipulate you, they're not trying to take advantage of you, they're not trying to do something to get something, they're not doing anything like that. They're just making sure that you're okay. And the reason that you know this person is doing all of these kind, thoughtful things for you is because you've either seen it with your own eyes, you've heard about it, somebody within your tribe, within your camp or community have told you, so-and-so did this for you. Did you know they were doing that? What would a decent person do? Even if they don't communicate with them, they'll do something to let them know thank you. That's what a decent person would do. Let's say somebody owns a lot of properties, but someone comes to each of their properties not saying a word to the owner, and they just start providing landscaping services. They start cleaning the exterior of every home. They get someone out to take care of every pest problem with every home. They start power washing every driveway, every sidewalk, every back patio, every step. They start cutting trees down that are not producing fruit. They're cutting down dead bushes. They see that every home needs some painting done, so they start painting the house. They start taking care of the roofing, installing security equipment, hiring additional security for surveillance of the property, just to let people know that, okay, I'm taking an extra step. You're not here. I did this for your house, and I just want to let you know that this area is protected. Everything you own is protected. They start washing cars in the driveway. They're just really beautifying the place. They're going around each property, making sure the utilities are working properly, making sure gates are secure. If a gate is old and raggedy, they've installed beautiful gates and fencing to make sure that the home is more attractive. If the mailboxes are beat up and they don't look good, they've installed new mailboxes. They got new keys made. They provided welcome home mats for each house. They're doing all of this. All of this is going on. And the property owner can see this. And what happens? The property owner benefits from all of this. They didn't have to pay one red cent to have any of these services done. They're not surprised with any bills, any invoices. They hear about it. They understand that this was some valuable things being provided for them. It was done for free. There was no charge. Somebody did this to bless this individual. Let me give another example before I break down my point. Let's say somebody's a parent, guardian, caretaker, and they have their children, or they have the children that they care for. These parents, these guardians, these caretakers, they have full-time jobs. Now they can manage what they do, but one day somebody or a group of people, they come along and they start caring for their children. No funny business, no abuse, no scandal, no scams, nothing like that. Just somebody sees somebody in need and they want to help out. They start caring for this person's kid or their children. And they're really caring for the children too. The children, when they're in these people's care who want to protect them and just take care of them and just bless them, the children are in a safe environment. They're not being abused. They're not being mistreated. They're not being mishandled. They see that the parent, like I said earlier, they can manage, but they could use some extra help. So what do? They take it a step further. They start purchasing food for the children. They feed the children breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. The children can be children when they're around them. They're able to play. They do their schoolwork. They're providing excellent tutoring services for the children. And then the additional benefit is that the people helping them have doctorate degrees, master's, bachelor degrees, all types of certifications. The children are doing arts and crafts. They're being shuttled every morning to this safe space, spending their own gas money. Birthday parties are included in this package that they're providing. The children can celebrate, or they are celebrating, these holidays. The children are rewarded for their great behavior. They're learning life skills. They're learning Bible lessons. They're learning how to type. They're getting help with their school projects. These people, or this person, is really taking care of these kids, these children. The parents really don't have to worry about purchasing too much of anything. Homework assignments are done, so when the parents get off of work, they can just relax. They don't have to do too much of anything because these people, these individuals who went out of their way to make sure that these children had a pleasurable, or they have a pleasurable experience every day, they just did this out the kindness of their heart. And the parents benefited. They saw it. They heard about it. There was no charge. Nobody came to them with any invoices via text, email, or in the mail. It was just someone deciding to bless somebody who they shared time and space with. as you think about those examples, as they're stored up in your mind, going back to scripture, this is similar to what David was doing. He was helping out this wealthy man. He was providing all of this top-notch security for this man, providing all these resources that were a benefit to Nabal. It was a benefit to the wealthy man. No, the wealthy man never asked for this. It was just David aiming to do right by somebody. And one day, David sends 10 of his young workers to greet Nabal, the wealthy man he was helping out. David sent the young men to peacefully ask Nabal for supplies. He didn't go tell the young man to ask for an invoice and payback. He just said, I need a couple of supplies. When David's young men, these young workers, went to Nabal and they say, long life to you, Nabal. God bless you, Nabal. Peace to you, peace to your family, and peace to all that is yours. Nabal, our leader David told us to come greet you. We hear that you're shearing, and when your workers, the shepherds, were with us, we did not harass them. We didn't steal anything from you. Nothing of yours or theirs went missing when they were around us. And you can ask the people who work for you, and they will tell you that we did right by you and them. So, Nabal, we are boldly coming to ask you for a favor. We have come to you on a feast day, and we're asking if you can supply us with some resources. Please just give us whatever you have on hand for your servants and for our master, David, the one who kindly looked after what belongs to you. So these young men did what David told them to do. And as they waited for Nabal's response, Nabal disrespects them and insults them. He tells the young man, who is David? Who is Jesse's son? See, that right there was so wrong and so disrespectful. That lets you know right then and there, Nabal knew who David was. How do you ask who somebody is and then you mention their daddy's name? That's an indicator right there. He knew all about David. But he keeps on with the disrespect. So he says, who is David? Who is Jesse's son? He starts calling David a slave, saying that he's a runaway. Mind you, as Nabal is saying this to the young man, he's screaming at them. He's not saying it calm. He's yelling at them and he's screaming as he's saying this to 10 young boys who were messengers. Then he proceeds to let the young man know as he's screaming, so I'm supposed to take my bread and my water and my food that I work for, and I'm supposed to take my meat that I butchered from what I have and from what belongs to me and give it to you. Give it to y'all just because y'all around? Who y'all hiding from anyway? I mean, I don't know who you are and what you're doing around me. I mean, I don't know your motives. I don't know your intent. So get away from me. I believe you can see how disrespectful this man is or was. But there are a lot of people just like this man. But back to David. After everything David and his men did for this man and his family, this man benefited from everything that David did. Now, as this man is saying, am I supposed to take my bread, my water, my food, and give it to them? David and his men took their bread, their water, their resources, their food, their security, their provisions, their time to make sure this man and his employees were well taken care of. This wealthy man, if you think about it, received the best training and security from a master sheep shearer. David had a doctorate He had a master's degree, he had a bachelor's degree in sheep education with a minor in sheep protective services. And then he had a double major in sheep marketing and victory administration. He provided this man with all of this expertise, all of this experience, and time for free, day in and day out. And then when he asked somebody for a couple of supplies, he was disrespected. He was totally disrespected, and the man even yelled at the children, the messengers. I believe some of you can relate with this. And if you can't, hopefully you're not the individual who's taken from people. But the individuals who can relate, how did it feel when you provided all of your expertise, your experience, your time for free to benefit someone, and you asked them for a pen, something that's not even equivalent to what you provided, and they just lose it? They go smooth off on you. They're screaming. They're hollering. They're justified to tell you no. How did you feel? Now, if this has happened to you and you don't know what to do, I suggest that you go to God in prayer and ask Him for wisdom, discernment, guidance, and strategies on how to execute boundaries as He vindicates you. Ask God what you need to do in that situation. For those who've gone through it and you can relate, remember those two scenarios I provided? They're general scenarios, general examples. But remember the example about a person helping somebody with their property and then somebody helping somebody out with their children? And we can use some more examples. This happens when somebody overextends themselves to bless somebody at the job, within the family, with the relative, a neighbor, somebody at church, somebody at school, somebody anywhere, friendship, relationship, marriage, whatever it is. A person could have really extended themselves to help somebody out. You're just really providing your time, your resources, so they can be blessed. And then you just ask them, excuse me, you know, I was wondering if you could show me a little favor. Could you write this letter of recommendation for me? Can I borrow a pen? You have a dollar I can borrow, and when I get my dollar back, I'll give it back to you. Can you help me out in this area? I'm in need of supporting real fast. Can I have a few supplies for the people who work for me so they can help you out? Can I have a little something so I can help the people who work for me so they can spend time with their family? I'm pretty sure some of you can relate with this. Can you show up for my child's engagements? Can you attend my child's birthday party? Can your children come to my kids' stuff? Because we always come into your stuff. And of course, our children are our friends, their cousin, their family. They'd really appreciate it. Can you put in a good word for me with that company you work so heavily with and you have so much influence in, and you're the hiring manager? Can you provide me with such and such and so and so? Can you help me out in such and such and so and so? All I need is a penny. Can I borrow a penny real quick? Because when I get that penny, I'll give it back to you. All I'm asking is for a kind word, a little acknowledgement, appreciation, value, all what I've done for you. And then the person that you've done all this for, they've been taken too. Don't forget that. They've been taken. And then they have the audacity to expect it. You ask them for one thing, and they go off on you. Value, respect, acknowledgement, appreciation. Nobody told you to do anything for me. Who are you anyway? Oh, a child of God? Who is God's child? Many people with credentials these days are giving stuff away for free, hoping to get well known. I mean, am I supposed to speak highly of you? Am I supposed to thank you? Is that what you're looking for? What, you want a cookie? You want a trophy? A pat on the back? Oh, you want me to acknowledge you and tell people that you're helping me out and I appreciate it? Nah, I'm going to continue going around people letting them know that I'm self-sufficient. I do it all myself. Nobody told you to do that for me. What you do for me means nothing. I'll continue going around people who hate me to impress them and slander you in their face. I mean, what, you want me to communicate with you and praise you for helping me out? And then give you what belongs to me? So let me get this right. I'm supposed to take my words, my time, my income, and give it to you. To be honest, I don't even know you like that. And then I'm better than you anyway. You're not valuable to me. What you did is what you did. Next time, don't do anything for anybody who didn't ask you to bless them. I mean, I'm not out here doing that. So, get out of my face. That's what these young men went through when they went to go meet this man, Nabal. Think about your expression if somebody told you that and you knew everything you did for somebody, or you know what somebody did for them and they are screaming and hollering at you, disrespecting you. So these young men, I believe they were appalled, and so was David. And anyone in their right mind would be livid about this. Heck, if you read this, you probably was upset. When this happens to a person, it's alarming that a person could be so bold, so disrespectful, and so wicked to take, receive, and benefit from something, but openly spit on the person who helped them out. I'm talking about spit on them. Now, the person who helped them out, they had the training to do what they did, and they sacrificed for them. They had experience. They had credentials. They had degrees, terminal degrees at that. They had the highest degree in the land, master's degrees, doctorate degrees. And when I say degrees, it can be a physical degree from an academic institution, or I'm talking about degrees of experience. Some people haven't gone through what you've gone through. So when you provide people with help, advice, it's coming from a place of strategy, wisdom, and results. And you're helping somebody out, and then they have the audacity to spit on you. But they were taking things from you for free. But now they want to spit on you. Instead of saying, okay, thank you, they just take. And then if they didn't want it, if they really didn't want it, they could have said, hey, no, thank you. I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, but I don't need that right now. They never came to tell anybody that. They just took. They took it. And then, if they were going to take it and they saw somebody was not charging them, they didn't even try to give somebody something in return. Hey, let me take your people out to lunch. Here's a gift card for you. Here's some gas money. Here's a thank you card. Here's a thank you. Mm-mm, they don't do that. They just sit back and receive. Spit on people. Spit in people's faces, matter of fact. They're spitting on the person who sacrificed, all while they're screaming and shaming everybody involved. So now you can see why David told his men, okay, we're about to go fight this man. Get your swords. Matter of fact, scratch that. We're about to go kill this wicked beast. We're about to go kill this man. So David's team put on their swords. And it was about 600 men total. 200 of the men stayed with the supplies, and 400 men were on their way to Nabal's house. You see how wicked that is? 600 men were watching this wealthy man's house. protecting him, shielding him, making sure everything was all right with him. Then this man spit on him. You see how things was about to take a drastic turn? But what happens is a young man who worked for Nabal was guided in discernment. Remember, discernment means the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. So this worker of Nabal knew that he needed to do something. He was like, oh my goodness, this man was wrong. And he goes and tells Nabal's wife, Abigail, what happened. He says in verse 14, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master. But he screamed at them. The men treated us very well. When we were in the field, we weren't harassed and nothing of ours was missing the whole time we were living among them. They were a wall around us, both day and night, the entire time we were with them herding the sheep. Now consider carefully what you should do, because there is certain to be trouble for our master and his entire family. He is such a worthless fool. Nobody can talk to him. See, the young servant of Nabal had enough discernment to see, this is wrong and something must be done before we all die. And it's interesting to read that one, just one, of Nabal's servants ran and told the wife when he said he, along with the others, were around David. So all these men who were in David's company, they saw what David did for them. They saw and they heard about what Nabal did to David's men. Only one person had discernment to go tell the wife. And whether you believe it or not, you'd be surprised that discernment is not with a lot of people. For God to guide one in discernment, a person has to want to identify right and wrong and stand on it and by it. They have to want to identify truth and error and stand on the truth. They have to want to decide and boldly proclaim what is God honoring and what is not. And they have to decide to act on it. So for the passage of scripture to say one was guided to go tell the wife, that's eye-opening. And it's a reminder that you might be around a lot of people, but it doesn't mean that those individuals are discerning and wise. Just because people are around you, they live with you, they work with you, that doesn't mean that they have or they're walking in God honoring and God guided discernment. Now, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, hears what's going on and she hurries up to go meet David. She took bread, wine, meat, grain, raisins, cakes. She loaded them and told her male servants to go ahead of her. And she had the discernment to do this. And she had the discernment not to tell her husband at that particular time what she was doing. When she saw David, David was approaching her and he was going off saying, I guarded everything that belonged to that man in the wilderness for nothing. He didn't miss anything. I could have did this, I could have did that, but I didn't. This man paid me back evil for good. I'm about to take care of this man and every male in his household. As he's saying this, Abigail ran up to David, bowed down before him, and she was guided in discernment as she conversed with David. She told David, I didn't know anything about what you asked my husband. When I found out, I wanted to give these things to you. David, I understand you're upset, but you shouldn't pay any attention to my husband. His name is Nabal. It means stupid, and stupidity is all the man knows. She continued telling David with discernment, David, don't worry about that man. Don't worry about my husband. God is about to bless you, and when you get to your position of prominence, you don't want any bloodshed on your hands from a fool. So, David, please forgive that man. He's stupid. He's stupid, but you're not stupid. You're blessed. I mean, look at you. God is always coming through for you. Every time you fight a battle, you always win. God is on your side. So do what God told you to do. Don't be worried about these stupos like my husband. I don't want you to have a guilty conscience doing what you intended to do with my husband, and you find out later it wasn't even worth it. But David, when God blesses you, remember me. Now I'm going to read 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, in the 32nd through the 35th verse. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you to meet me today. May your discernment be blessed, and may you be blessed. Today you kept me from participating in bloodshed and avenging myself by my own hand. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, who prevented me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, Nabal wouldn't have had any males left by morning light." Then David accepted what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. See, I have heard what you have said and have granted your request." You see how Abigail was guided in discernment? Abigail knew what her husband did was wrong. She could identify when somebody provided something of value to her. She didn't spit on it. She didn't flush it down the toilet. She didn't crumble it up. She didn't disrespect it. She didn't dismiss it. Abigail was guided in discernment to make things right. And so was the servant who came to her. Abigail had the discernment on what to gather, what to give, what to say, how to say it, who to tell, who not to tell, how quick to go. She did not delay. Discernment is quick in action. And God guided this woman in discernment, not just for her household, but for the people who work for her in their household. And she was guided in discernment regarding her husband. She had discernment regarding David and his position, David's man, what he should do, what he would do. She had discernment to give, how much to give. She had discernment all around. She covered all bases as God guided her in discernment. She did not miss a beat. And as you read the rest of the chapter, you'll discover that her husband died when she told him what she did for him, and how she had to act in discernment from his stupid ways. And he couldn't take it. His heart died. When people do you wrong and they do you in, when you do right by them, allow God to guide you in discernment. It's easy to lose your cool. And when people are enraged, they could go back to take what they invested in somebody. They could go back and try to snatch up their resources. You hear the stories, or if you're real with yourself, for those who've done it, what if you tried to go snatch back up when somebody showed you that they didn't value you? You trying to go get your stuff back? Some people, not you, just some people. Are they trying to tear some stuff up, break some things, or even breaking some people? But that's not the aim for this motivational target. The aim is to allow God to guide us in discernment. Pray to God on what to do. And when he tells you what to do, act quickly. If he tells you to forgive, forgive them quickly. Discernment doesn't mean to act in emotion. It means to act with God guiding your emotions. People might spit on you. They might shame you, scream at you, scorn you, and even sabotage all your sacrificial efforts to help them. God saw them. God heard them. God heard them when they made fun of you. God heard them make little remarks like, "I don't know what they're giving to me for, because I ain't giving them nothing. They crazy. Girl, I'm just going to take from them, because, I mean, they stupid, so I'm just going to take." God heard all of that. God heard them thinking about how they were going to snatch your gifts and resources and not give you credit too. God heard them downplay all your investments in them. and the gifts you provided for them and their family. God saw how people came up to them, whether they were strangers or the people that they were talking about you to. God saw those very people come up to them in amazement and say, oh my goodness, why, oh, they did that for you? Boy, they're not as bad as you claim, because I wouldn't even do that for you. They did that for you? Man, I mean, aren't you going to thank them? God heard those individuals tell those people, nah, I'm not about to tell them anything. I'm not telling them thank you. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and just create more mess and toxicity so I won't have to be held accountable. Ugh. God saw that. And it doesn't matter if they pretend, if they make it look like you're not valuable. They can take from you. God saw all of that. He saw it. So allow this story to be a reminder for you that God sees what you do for others, and God sees how people respond to what you do for them. And even when people dismiss, disrespect, make it look like what you've done is just nothing, everybody can do that, allow God to guide you in His discernment to act accordingly as He turns the tables and He vindicates you. Allow God to balance your books. Allow God to fight your battles. Allow God to come through for you. But you have to cast your cares on Him. You have to give it to Him. You have to trust Him. And you have to forgive those people. But God is true. His promises are true. He will vindicate you as He grants you discernment. And a passage of scripture that I would like to review with you once more is 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, in the 32nd through the 35th verse. And it reads, then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you to meet me today. May your discernment be blessed, and may you be blessed. Today you kept me from participating in bloodshed and avenging myself by my own hand. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, who prevented me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, Nabal wouldn't have had any meals left by morning light. Then David accepted what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. See, I have heard what you have said, and I have granted your request. Allow God to guide you in discernment. You could be around people who refuse to listen to truth. You could be around people who are stupid, and stupidity is all they know. Will you get on the stupid train or the discernment train? Allow God to guide you in discernment. From this story, we see how when a person is guided in discernment, their family is protected, their family is provided for, and they are not in harm's way. And if they are in harm's way, they know how to get out of it because God is guiding them. God blesses the one who walks in the guidance of the discernment He provides. All right, so thank you for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download the God Guide You Bible Study. And on the site, you can grab some apparel aimed to inspire and remind you that God is the one guiding you. You can connect with me on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target and on the YouVersion Bible app, where you can download, subscribe, and complete a variety of Bible devotionals. Walk in God's guidance of discernment today. Peace and God bless.